You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 2nd of August 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I thought I'd make a bit of a show for beginners, people that may have only just come across the website or maybe new to nationalism, and it will be a stream of consciousness show. I don't have any notes and I'll probably end up forgetting some things that I would like to mention, and maybe it will turn into a series. I don't know. Maybe I'll be able to fit it all into one show. So where should we really begin? Well, we should really begin with nationalism, of course, because Radio Albion is a nationalist project for nationalists. So what is a nationalist? Well, a nationalist is somebody who identifies with their nation. So what is a nation? Well, a nation is a group of people that are related together through their ancestors. You could refer to a nation as an extended kinship group. It means a people that are all related together, an ethnost. And a nationalist is somebody who identifies with that nation, somebody who is interested in the history of that nation, somebody who wants to see that nation prosper, somebody who identifies with the other members of that nation when they see them. They see them as being a member of their extended family, so they want to care for them, basically. They want what is best for their family. And as nationalists, we believe that the world would best be governed if the world was split into the separate nations, and those separate nations would be able to grow at the pace that they wanted to grow at, and they would be free to express themselves in their culture in the way that was unique to themselves, and that culture would take shape to reflect what those people were like. And this is the way that things used to be. Nations used to be based upon ethnicity. It used to be based on who your ancestors were, rather than what part of the world you were born in. And this is still the same case in places like China, places like Russia, and places like Hungary. Hungary identifies the Hungarians as being the Hungarians, not people that have just moved there and maybe been born there. They refer to the Hungarian ethnicity. And I think when you look at places like India as well, they will be the same, and parts of Africa, countries in Africa. They all have what could be referred to as ethnostates, and an ethnostate is a state that is run by and run for a specific ethnicity. So that's what nationalism is. So what is Radio Albion? Well, Radio Albion is a site that looks at items of interest to nationalists, i.e. we talk about our heritage, we talk about our history, and we also try to encourage people to be the best people that they can be. We want to look at our history, look at our strong points, and we want to bring those strong points out in people, and we also want to look at our weak points, and we want to work upon our weak points. We also wish to look around the world at the other different ethnicities and see what we can learn from them as well. Now, the biggest threat, I suppose you could call it, to us at the moment as white people is multiculturalism. And it's seen as a threat because in all white countries, white people are fast becoming a minority. The predictions are in Britain that if something doesn't change within 40 years, The ethnic Britons, by that I mean the English, the Scots, the Welsh, and the Northern Irish, will be a minority. We will be outnumbered by newcomers that have come to our country in the last 70 years, mainly the last 70 years, because up until the Second World War, we were 99.9% white in Britain. This doesn't mean that we're against the newcomers that have come to our country. It just means that we would like our country to retain its original flavour, its original significance, its original form, because the culture reflects the people that created it. And obviously, if you're going to bring in people from all different cultures and they're going to live in the same territory, your culture is no longer going to look like it did before. So we're concerned about that. So we try to raise the issues about that here at Radio Albion. When we cover the news, we talk about general subjects to do with the news, items that are in the news, and we look at them from the point of view as a nationalist. We say, is this good for us or is this bad for us? And that is the way that we look at it. We try to advocate for our people. We also have, as I say, historical programs here at Radio Albion, and in the historical programs, which I think are the most important programs that we actually have here, we look at the primary source documents for our history, because this is very concerning. At the moment, there is a big push to rewrite history, essentially, to look at history from other points of view. And traditionally, in Britain, say, we have looked at history from the eyes of a British man. How has our history been through the eyes of somebody British? It hasn't been looked at through the eyes of somebody who is African or the eyes of somebody who is Chinese. And since we've had multiculturalism and we've invited other ethnicities here, they're looking at our history and they're saying, well, this isn't my history. This is different to how I remember it. And of course, it's going to be different to how they remember it, because the word itself is his story. It can only be one individual story. It can only be one individual nation's story. So it's going to conflict with other people's versions of history. And to compensate for that, what they're trying to do is they're trying to change history. And all you have to do is go back to the primary source documents to prove what the history was. Anything that was actually written at the time of what it is actually talking about, that is going to be the most accurate representation of what actually happened. And this is very important when we look at things like the slave trade, for instance. You really need to look at what the people were saying at the time, rather than looking at it back now and saying, well, we shouldn't have done that, we shouldn't have done this, they must have been terrible people because they did this, because that just isn't true. For instance, I was doing a program the other week, and it turned up in that program that a hospital actually owned a plantation that had slaves on it. Now, the Black Lives Matter way of looking at that would be to say, that shows that the people in that hospital were wicked, evil, white supremacists, because they owned this plantation, and anything to do with that hospital should have its money taken away from them. Whereas the way we would look at it, we would say, well, that shows that in actual fact, slavery was looked upon as a benign institution at that time. The people that were involved in that hospital would have been very good people. They would have been doctors. They would have been nurses. They would have wanted the best for their patients, and they would have wanted the best for the people on that plantation. They certainly wouldn't have been involved if they thought that it was in some way going to be harmful to the people on that plantation. And the reason why people thought that way back then is because they looked upon the black Africans as a people that really didn't have very much. When they went to Africa, when the explorers went to Africa, they discovered a people that weren't living far out from the Stone Age, and they were capturing one another and selling them as slaves, and they were eating them. And the white people saw that and they thought, well, we feel really sorry for these people. Surely there must be something we can do for them. And if they're selling one another as slaves, we might as well buy some of them. And at least then we can make sure that they are looked after well, they're fed. We can give them a taste of what civilization can offer. And in return, we'll provide a roof over their heads and we'll feed them. And that was the way that it was looked at. That was the way most white people looked upon slavery. They didn't look upon it as, let's take advantage of these people. They thought, this: there is a people here that is perfectly capable of working. They can work the same as us, but they aren't capable of developing ways that are going to make life easier for themselves, or at least we don't see any evidence of that. And that was the mentality, and that's what we talk about here at Radio Albion. And that's not hateful. We're not saying this because we hate these other races. We don't hate the other races at all, and we really do appreciate the differences that there are between the races. And this is another danger with multiculturalism. If you have lots of different races or lots of different ethnicities living within one territory, there is always going to be the risk that they are going to reproduce with one another. Once they start reproducing with one another, you lose the original ethnicity that formed the culture in the first place. And we would suggest here at Radio Albion that that is the reason why we see ruined civilizations in the past. If you look back, they said the reason why Athens fell is because there was a lack of Athenians. There were no longer any Athenians in Athens. It was filled up with other peoples. The original people that created the civilization, they ended up interbreeding with other peoples, and they lost whatever it was that allowed them to create that civilization and maintain that civilization. So we don't want that to happen to Western civilization. We don't want that to happen to European civilization. But that is what we see happening time and time again in the past. Again, this is not hateful. When we first started out with Radio Albion, we saw all these things that were occurring around us, that were concerning us within society. We saw a high crime rate. We saw terrible things that were happening. We saw a massive divorce rate. We saw a massive number of abortions. We saw pornography being shown to children, all sorts of things that we were naturally against. And we could see that none of this was being talked about in the mainstream media. And yet we had noticed it and we wanted to talk about it. So we did start talking about it, and parts of what we were talking about were academic, and parts of what we were talking about were humorous, and parts of what we were talking about were completely original ways of looking at things and trying to identify where the problems originally came from. And all of that was sort of mixed together into each podcast. Whereas now, as we've got better at crafting what we do here at Radio Albion, now we have separate sections for it, basically. If you want humour, you'll find that on a Friday on the Daily Nationalist. If you want serious academic pursuits, then you'll find that on the Orthodox Nationalist on Wednesdays. If you want to find out who's hot in nationalism at the moment, then watch Patriotic Weekly Review on a Wednesday. If you want general news coverage of what's going on, then listen to the Daily Nationalist. If you want British-centric news and a look at our history and the greatest Britons that we've ever had, then you will want to listen to Real Britannia. As Radio Albion has evolved over time, it has improved, I think, massively, massively improved with the way that we look at things. And it's now become a really useful resource. For instance, you could take Edward Longshanks, for instance, the King Edward Longshanks. We did a series on Edward Longshanks. I think it was 6 episodes long originally, and we condensed that into one episode, which you'll find on the Greatest Britain's archive page. And when we were doing that, I had to translate from Old English into Modern English the story of Edward Longshanks from the Chronicle of England, the Brut, or the Chronicle of England, it was called. It was originally written in Latin, and then it was Old English. And that was written at the time when Edward Longshanks was alive. So the story that is told in there is the truthful story of Edward Longshanks, and it goes into quite some detail. And what we discovered is it is very different to the story that is on Wikipedia. And Edward Longshanks was well known for being such a great king. He really was the first king to unite the English, the Scottish, and the Welsh together. And of course, this was before the colonization of Ulster or Northern Ireland, and it was the first time that we actually had a sensation of all being together and all being British. He was a nationalist king, and his people were extremely loyal to him. And Wikipedia will tell you that there was a king that wanted to be the King of Scotland, and he ended up being killed in Scotland at a church. And we discovered that in actual fact, this king did not want to be the King of Scotland, and he wasn't a king. He had no pretenses at being a king. He was loyal to King Edward, very loyal to King Edward. And because he was loyal to King Edward, that was the reason why he was slaughtered, and he was slaughtered in the church. And it was the guys that actually did the killing in the church that were the bad guys in this. And yet the modern story that is told is the opposite way around. So things like that are original research that we do here. We also used to have a series called Truthful Out Radio, which looked in depth, really, at the Second World War, communism, revolutions throughout the ages, French Revolution, the South American revolutions. And we discovered in that a story about Jews working with the National Socialists. The Zionist Jews worked with the National Socialists in the Second World War to emigrate from Germany to what was then Palestine, and they were essentially building Israel there, a homeland for the Jews. And this is a story that's just never been told, that people don't know about. They don't realise that the National Socialists worked with the Zionists. And they did this for a couple of years before the war broke out. The Jews were able to leave Germany with all their possessions, and they actually had a lot of privileges that the Germans didn't have. And even after the war started, the SS still had this Jewish office, which was to help the Jews to get to Israel. And we told a completely hidden story there from original source, original source documents from the time. And we told a story there that you're just not going to find anywhere else. There is so much information at Radio Albion that you're just not going to find elsewhere, or you're going to find it in pieces. And what we have done here is we have collated it together into a narrative. At the moment, I'm doing a series with the Patriarch on Fridays, which is called Patriotic History. And we're looking at the birth of civilization. We're looking at the original civilizations in the Fertile Crescent in the Near East, and looking at how white people spread out from there and colonized these other areas, because we believe that those civilizations were started by white people. There's a lot of evidence to show that they were started by white people. As time went on, they eventually turned into the Arab peoples that are there now. And this is because people have never stayed still. People have always moved around. People have always emigrated. In the same way that Europeans went to America back then, we had what we would call Europeans now, but of course they weren't necessarily in Europe. They were in the Near East. They went out and they colonized Troy and Crete and Sumer and all over the place. And we're cataloguing that at the moment and investigating that and showing that, and again, doing research that you're not going to find anywhere else. We also like to platform academics that are not platformed anywhere else, because they get deplatformed. If you look at the radio schedules, you will see that Professor Edward Dutton is on there all the time. We replay Professor Edward Dutton's shows from YouTube and BitChute. You'll also see that we feature Dr. E. Michael Jones a lot. And I've interviewed Dr. E. Michael Jones, and I've interviewed Professor Edward Dutton. We've also featured Dr. Patrick Slattery's show, and we also have Dr. David Duke on there. So we basically platform academics that have difficulty getting a platform elsewhere, and we interact with them. And Dr. Matthew Raphael Jones is our resident academic, and he puts out a podcast called The Orthodox Nationalist once a week, and his specialist is in Slavic history and church history. And his podcast, or his lecture series, is exclusively published at Radio Albion, and he is funded by his listeners, by his readers, because he also writes essays and articles. He also writes for Russia Insider, and he's the editor of the Barnes Review. And when he publishes his content at Radio Albion, that's effectively publishing it there for peer review. Because we do like interaction with our listeners. If we say anything that our listeners think is wrong or inaccurate, we want it to be pointed out. We really do want it to be pointed out because we strive to be as accurate as possible here. We like to always put our sources in the articles. If we're discussing a news article, you'll find that there are links to that news article in the podcast. And that's so that you can look it up and you can check that what we are saying is the truth and it is accurate. And of course, when we're discussing these news articles, we're going to be looking at it from the point of view of white people. We're going to be saying, is this good for white people or is this bad for white people? Now, some people might criticize us and say, oh, yes, what you will talk about black people and you will say, well, they have a lower average IQ, or their black people are more likely to commit crimes because there are so many more of them in prison than there are whites. Isn't that being hateful towards black people? Well, I would suggest, no, it's not being hateful towards them, because it is pointing out that the reason for this attainment gap and the reason for the propensity towards crime is because that's just the way they are. You can't judge them for that. You can't say, well, it's because they're not working hard enough, that's why there's the attainment gap. And you can't say, well, it's just because they're horrible people, that's why they commit these crimes, because that's not true. A lot of them are very nice people. The reason for these differences is because they are a different race. We're not saying you should be blaming them for this. We're saying they are different people, and that's why these things happen. It's not prejudice against them. It's post-Judas. And what I mean by that is we have looked at the facts and the statistics and we reprint them and we discuss them. And those facts and those statistics tell us that these people are actually very different to us. And therefore, it would be wrong of us to judge them by our own standards. Another criticism might be, people might say, well, don't you say that Jews have a large influence in the media, or that they have a large influence in government? And isn't that anti-Semitic? And I would say, well, the Jews themselves talk about the large influence they have in the media. They're very proud of it. They talk about the large influence they have in government. They're very proud of it. And the reason why they don't get charged with hate speech is because they're talking about it in a positive way. They're talking about it in a way that is sympathetic towards Jews. And I would suggest that the way we talk about it is also sympathetic towards Jews. We're not criticizing Jews for having an influence in government. We're not criticizing them for having an influence in media. That is exactly what you would expect Jews to be doing. They are a tiny minority within a large majority, and therefore, in order to gain influence, because they don't have the numbers, they don't have the power to gain influence, in order to gain influence, they do that with the media, and they do that with government. And we can't really complain that Jews are doing what is best for Jews. What we can complain about, we could say, well, perhaps we don't particularly approve of what the media is showing, or perhaps we don't particularly approve of what the government are doing. But you can't blame the Jews for doing that when it benefits them. Who you can blame is white people for handing over so much of the media to our competitors, because that's essentially what these groups are. All these extended kinship groups are competing. Whether we live in different countries together, the countries are competing, and where we live within one territory, all those extended kinship groups are competing against one another. It's quite Darwinian, and each of the groups develops a different strategies to improve their prospects. And strategies that the Jews have developed include being very, very charitable to one another and helping one another out. And they try to gain influence in government. And again, there's nothing wrong in doing this. And what we're trying to point out is that this is what is going on. And if we are not going to stand up for our own interests, if our government is not going to stand up and speak for the original people in these islands, who else is going to do that? Nobody else is going to do it. You can't expect the Jews to be standing up for white people, you can't expect black people to be standing up for white people. They're going to be standing up for their own selves, and that's perfectly natural. In the same way that a man is expected to provide for himself and for his family, he doesn't expect other people to do that for him. We shouldn't be expecting the Jews to be doing that. We shouldn't be expecting blacks to be doing that. But what we can do is expect our own people to be doing that. And that's the problem. That's the problem as we see it here at Radio Albion, is white people are not doing what white people should be doing. We used to. If you look back 150 years ago, white people, and particularly British people, were very aware of their identity. They were very aware of even the subtle differences that there were between, say, Britons and Germans and Italians. I mean, back then we understood that the Italians had this flair for music and architecture, and the Germans were great workers, and they were very regimented, and the British had lots of tenacity and strength of will, and we were very creative, and we would come up with solutions to problems, and we understood these differences, but subtle differences that there were between the European nations, and we understood how we were different. Today, we don't understand that anymore. We've lost that. We used to be a highly, highly moral people that based our morals on Christianity. And Christianity is another thread that you will find running through Radio Albion, because if it wasn't for Christianity, we wouldn't even have the nations that we have today. Before the advent of Christianity and before the European nations became Christian, you had the Saxons, you had the Britons, and you might have had the Danes, but you didn't really have much else, and even they were just these disparate tribes, pretty much. Apart from the Britons, we had quite a degree of civilization before the Romans actually came, but it wasn't until these peoples actually became Christian that their nations took formation, and they were then able to build Christendom. And they were able to build Christendom because instead of warring amongst themselves, they said, well, hang on a minute, we're all Christian, we're all Christian brothers here, and we should remember Christian charity and mercy and love towards one another, and we should be working together, and we should be obeying the laws of the Bible, and we should be honouring God. And once they started doing that, we built this great civilization that we had here in Europe, and we then exported it around the world. We went out, because we knew that eventually there were going to be too many people in Europe. So our sons and our daughters, they went out and they colonized America and Australia and New Zealand, and they built European outposts out there. And this all came about basically through Christianity uniting our people together into these nations. And when we went out to these other countries, we saw that in places like South America, they had human sacrifice. In places like Africa, they had cannibalism and human sacrifice. And we wanted to civilize these peoples. We wanted to help these peoples, because that is what we do as whites. We are a very charitable race. We didn't look at them and think we should oppress these people or we should kill these people. We didn't think we should enslave these people. We only bought slaves if that was the system that was going on in that country at the time. We didn't buy Red Indians as slaves because they didn't have a system where they were selling Red Indians as slaves. And we tried to Christianize these peoples, and we tried to set a good example for them. But of course, by this time, we'd had the Enlightenment, and instead of following the laws of God and our traditions, we decided that we knew better, and we were going to be humanists, and we were going to question the existence of God, and we were going to question our traditions, and we were going to overturn our traditions. We were going to say, well, why don't we allow divorces? Why don't we allow abortion? Why don't we allow homosexuality? Why don't we allow miscegenation? And once we did all these things, we lost our position of leading the world. We lost our moral position of being the moral leaders of the world, and now we can look to countries like Africa, which appear to us to have higher morals than we do. The church in Africa, the Anglican church in Africa, is saying, what is going on here? What is the Church of England doing? having transsexual blessings in the church, appointing women priests. All of this goes against what it tells us in the Bible. And the African churches are still sticking to the Christian traditions, and the churches in Europe are overturning them. And as we overturn our traditions, we weaken ourselves as a nation. We get weaker and weaker, and our representation in government no longer represents us. And all of this is foretold in the Bible. It says if you go against these traditions, if you go against these rules, these laws, foreigners will rule over you. And this is essentially what we have now. We have multicultural countries. Instead of these countries doing what is best for the people that built them, they're striving to do what is best for the new people that have come into our countries. And again, I have to stress, we cannot blame the new people that have come into our countries for doing this. We have to squarely place the blame on our own shoulders, because our representatives are the ones who invited them. We invited them. Our governments invited them. And a lot of nationalists will moan, and they'll get really mad at that, and they'll gnash their teeth, and they'll say, oh yes, but the Jews lobbied for that. The Jews have all these groups where they're advocating for immigration. Well, yes, so what? It's still our people that decided they were going to go along with that instead of helping us out, instead of thinking, well, hang on a minute, could this cause problems for the indigenous people? They thought, oh yes, this is great, we can make a lot of money from this, we can try out lots of tasty food from this. And they did what was to the benefit of the Jews and to the detriment of the indigenous people. And again, you cannot blame the Jews for doing that. I mean, we would be doing exactly the same. I think if white people were a minority in a country that, say, had a majority that was Jewish, white people would be striving to gain influence. They would be striving to gain influence of the media. They would be doing whatever they could to make their lives better. And Jews like to have multicultural countries because they don't stand out. They don't stand out as being different. And they're on record as saying this. Of course, they will suggest that it's all out of a sense of charity, but essentially what happens is it weakens the host nation. And if you can weaken your competitors, obviously that is to the benefit of you. And as I pointed out, that is what is going on here. We have a competition between these different groups, and the goal of the competition is to advance your own group's interests. And to understand that does not mean you hate your competitors. You want your competitors to do well because you want them to provide a worthy challenge to yourself, so that when you defeat them, it really means something and you have really accomplished something. And that is the mentality that we have here at Radio Albion, is that we want our people to be the very best people they can be. We want them to set a very good example. We want them to be knowledgeable about who they are, what their inheritance is, what their identity means, and how they should conduct themselves. We are very serious about trying to improve the virtue among our people, and we believe that that is how a nationalist should be. And that's what Radio Albion is all about. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.